Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Some days you want a little extra oomph to your usual look. Whether that's lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara or awakening your eyes with a lasting lift and soft color with the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Whether you want a simple, just got to get out of the door routine or full glam, you'll always look and feel like the best version of yourself with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and happy Halloween to everybody out there. For anybody who's wondering, before you call me an elf, it's a Peter Pan hat. So I'm just going to get that out of the way right now. It's a Peter Pan hat. You just can't really see the feather because of the way I'm sitting. I'm
you also have to wearing
talk. My foolish mortal shirt.
Oh, I like that. So you're a Disney character for Halloween.
Alexa is not my foolish mortal, but Alexa, what are you doing?
I'm wearing a sloth onesie. It's really cozy. I wore it outside to run an errand today, and I'm going to be honest, I haven't taken it off. And so, yeah, I'm being a cozy sloth for Halloween tonight.
I like that. I just went on a walk around my neighborhood to see if children were starting to come and do trick-or-treating so that I could be prepared for doorbells ringing. During this podcast, no children, but it was like 92 degrees outside. So yeah, I would not be wearing a sloth onesie if I was you down here.
I think not. What kind of candy do you guys have out tonight? What's your,
we have flavor? A whole bunch of candy that I like. So like, it's like Twix and Milky Ways and those cookies and cream Hershey bars.
Oh, those are so good. Twix is my go-to.
Yeah. So I, that's what I'm going with here. Pretty much anything I like is what we're giving out to kids, because then when they inevitably don't show up and eat it all, I get it.
Yeah, I like that. I think our house, we always just did the, like, we did the mixed bags because we had like Snickers and Twix. Twix is my favorite, but Kit Kats are a very close second. But it sounds like it's not on your list.
We have the mixed bag, but Kit Kats weren't in the mixed bag, which is very disappointing.
That is disappointing. I wonder why. Disappointing.
Anyway. Episode 7, predictions and power rankings for Survivor 43. We're at the official merge, 12 people left in the game. How exciting. It's an actual merge. I've talked about it a lot. I'm going to talk about it ad nauseum. I like the earn the merge, and I like that these people actually earn their way in. So we'll talk about that. In this episode, we'll talk all about Gabler and how he is arguably the best Survivor player ever. I'm in Peter Pan mode, so I'm in Neverland. I'm like really like just love like that. In my own world here. But now we'll be talking all about the big moments from last week. Alexa, I feel like last week had a lot more conversation around it on the interwebs than we've had this season.
Mm-hmm.
With the Earn the Merge, with Gabler, with Ellie, like these types of moments. So I think that'll definitely come into the discussion as we rank these 12 remaining players. But overall, I was kind of surprised with some of the reaction we got on the internet. It seemed like a lot of the stuff that I personally was a pretty big fan of, people were either confused by or didn't like or just felt like it was unnecessary. But we'll break all that down as we now get into what is officially the merge. Poor Ellie did not make the jury, but from here on out, everybody except for three of these people is going to make the jury for all of you playing in the prop bet game. So that's good news for all of you.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm curious, like what specifically you're talking about, but I think when it comes to the, like earning the merge, I feel like the consensus is definitely why did we do it? And I think we had talked about this a little bit on our recap, but I do get it because it's like, why just add another thing if you're not really going to make a twist? But I think it does make for a cool dynamic when you can have a tribal council where some people are safe and some are not, rather than like only one person having individual immunity. So like, yeah, I think it's a little unnecessary, but it at least like, it gives it a little something because even mm-hmm. still right now, if they didn't do that, they would just walk onto the beach. And I feel like that's not as like exciting as it used
yeah. to. What I do like about this earning the merge kind of thing is, and it's funny that people haven't put this together because Michelle Fitzgerald never went to tribal council, right? Like mm-hmm. never went to tribal in the pre-merge phase. So she just made it to the merge and yeah. played Survivor. A lot of people give her like take her down a peg for that. Mm-hmm. What I like about this is like there is at least one time that you could be vulnerable no matter what. You can be fine through the first five votes, but on that sixth one, things mix it up and you could potentially go home and you have to win that challenge with people you don't know to be safe. And if you're not safe, well, you're one of six or seven people who's in danger. But you still have the ability to save yourself. I kind of like that only some of the people are in danger. It makes it so it's not a super easy vote. I know the Ellie vote looked like it was an easy vote, but we see so often when we get to like final 13 or 12 or whatever it is when we hit that merge, we get the Elizabeth Olsen boot where it's just like, oh, okay, this was the easy number. We all just want to get through this first one and then we'll move on from there. I like this. I also think it's very visually appealing to see everybody battle it out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody gets screwed by this twist because you still have your whole tribe there to defend you if you are in the Cody position and you're the only person from Vessi who's vulnerable. Everybody is still voting with you. And not for nothing, just making final 12 isn't really earning the merge anymore. They're playing for 13 days. So I think there does need to be more to it. And I'm all about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I don't like these like mega merge groups. I don't like a huge jury and like that cut of 13 people at the challenge. So that's a good point. Like I felt negative to impartial about the earn the merge, but I do like removing one other person from the process before you get merged. Cause like you said, they're out there for like almost barely two weeks.
And the thing is now everybody is going and voting out. Like everybody had a part in voting out Ellie last week. Everybody who's in this merge group had a part in that without technically being merged and with Ellie not making the jury. So yeah. It kind of makes everybody see how they're playing the game before we get into now the completely individual portion of the game. I like mm-hmm. that. I think it's a good twist. I think it's here to stay for anybody. Like, cause a lot of what I was seeing on the interwebs was, but why not just make it that far? And then you've earned the merge. It's not the same. It's just not what it was. And I feel like when you're doing these like sped up seasons and everything like that, why not have something like this? I don't think it hurts the game at all. And in fact, I think it helps it. So that's why I have it there.
Yeah. And it definitely does divide it up a little bit. Cause if we're not going to have swaps, I'm curious if that's the case, just like as a standard moving forward or not, then mm-hmm. you do need a little something exciting.
Yeah. And so now we're at the final 12, four people from each of the original three starting tribes, which I really like. This is the second season in a row we've had that happen, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And not really anybody who feels like they're totally in command. It doesn't feel like we have one tribe in command over the others. Yeah. Baka had Ellie go home, but it didn't seem like Baka was too hurt by losing her. Clearly Gabler wasn't, but it doesn't seem like Sammy or Owen was really battling for her either. Janine has an idol. And then we have the Vessi tribe where Jesse gets his vote back. They have two advantages with Noelle and Cody. And we have Dwight, who's just kind of chilling and had nothing happening in the merge episode. Yep. And then we had the blue tribe, which I can never remember the name of, where James and Cassidy were the names being thrown around, but they both were able to just say, screw you guys. That doesn't make any sense. We don't want to go home tonight. And all four of them ended up being really safe. Ryan actually looked pretty good. And Carla seems like she's most in control. So look at that. I did that from memory. So these 12 have officially made their way into my brain.
Real people. We know them.
They are real people. And I feel like that's also a credit, though, where I'm not sitting here going, wait, who is that other person? Like, I feel like it's a credit to the fact that this has been edited pretty well. And yeah, so that's where we're at. Alexa, you are currently destroying everybody in the power rankings. And you have 59 points. Wow. So as we like to call that, where I'm from, if you beat me, you're cheating. So Alexa is cheating.
I've finally found a spoiler site after years of looking. I did it, everyone.
After scoring like 26 points total last season, Alexa is now officially the biggest cheater ever. So Alexa has 59. I have 54. I haven't scored everybody's yet, but I will. We have somebody here who has 56, but I don't know who it is. I just have them listed as Ellie, which is clearly not what their name is. So somebody does have 56, but I accidentally typed in your name as Ellie. So I just have to go back and figure out who that is. But anyway, we're finally into the portion two, where if you're in the fantasy game playing for the Vintage Survivor Store prize that Vintage Survivor Store is providing, we're going to get to immunities and things like that now. So your scores will actually change, which makes it so that I should actually score them moving forward. Although we have some dreadful teams, Alexa, we have multiple people who have five of their six people already out of the game.
Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome.
Wonderful, beautiful thing.
Hopefully the next person voted out is that final person that they have. That would be like your own version of winning.
If you are Ian Moorhead, James going home next would really screw you over. And honestly, I might be basing my power rankings based. You clearly went to the same site Alexa went to. You just read it the wrong way.
Yeah, you read 1 through 17 backwards.
Yeah. All right, Alexa, who do you have in the top spot at the final 12?
I think the only person I'm going to feel really, really unstoppably confident about until I have a reason not to is Carla. Carla is in a really, really great position. This merge, which is kind of just a trend we're seeing a lot of, it was an easy, everyone's going to get rid of Ellie. But even so, two of Carla's allies were the names thrown around. And there was, she was like kind of barely in the episode, all things considered. There was no like sense of scrambling, or there was just so much confidence that they wouldn't go home. But at the same time, we got to a point where Noelle like accidentally outed Cody as having an idol, and somehow that didn't immediately jump to people figuring out that Carla had it. That will change, I assume, but I think Carla is just in such a fantastic position. She's an easy number one for me.
Yeah, it was funny. You started speaking and I was typing Carla. Like, I have Carla at number one as well, finally taking Gabler out of that top spot because Gabler doesn't have his idol anymore. People have been asking about that. He's been to two tribal councils now. It was good for his two tribal councils. He was just immune. He could have used it for somebody else if he wanted to. Clearly was never going to use it for Ellie and was very confident that things were going to work out well for him. So Gabler's idol is no more. Now he would just have to use it as a decoy for other people. Not from his original tribe, who didn't know it was good for only two episodes. The only problem for Gabler is his tribe's not going to let him get away with that because they don't like him enough to let him get away with that. So he's not going to be able to pull like a Bob Crowley here and try to be like, guys, this is what's going on here. But
yeah,
I also have Carla at number one. Carla is it's amazing how in the game of Survivor, if you're likable, you can do so many good things in the game. And I'm not saying the rest of this cast isn't likable. But like you just said, Carla's idol never got outed. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the fact that like Carla is really, really, really managing her threat level, like doing a phenomenal job of managing her threat level. And if she continues to do that, she is going to make the finale. Now, is she going to win? I don't know. A lot of people feel like Carla is the winner, which is why I'm like, ah, she's going to get chopped. But then again, up until 41 and 42, the winners were becoming very obvious. I mean, Tony was a pretty obvious winner. We were all just looking for ways that he was going to get voted out. Yeah. Tommy was a pretty obvious winner. Chris Underwood, everybody knew was going to win, obviously. but, you know, it started to get obvious. Nick Wilson, when you really rewatch Dave vs. Goliath, is kind of like, oh, that's not exciting. But
yeah,
I feel like Carla could win this thing, and she's definitely been a great narrator. She's great at the game. But right now, even if she doesn't win it, she's around for the long haul. So I got her at number one.
Yeah, she's just playing. She's playing such a like good paced game and isn't stressed. And that seems so impossible to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Number two, I have Cassidy. Probably a little high for somebody whose name has been out and about twice, but she was not going to go home last week. And really the main person who was gunning for her is Ryan, who's really just completely on his own right now. I think Baca is really splintered and there's going to be a lot of attention on them. I think there's going to be attention again on Cody. And if anybody from, what the hell is the blue tribe saying? Coco's, if anybody from Coco was going to be gunned for, I think it would be Ryan because he's going to prove himself to probably be very good in an individual immunity challenge and he's by himself. And I think actually James could have people going for him. I think he's maybe a little bit more obvious than Cassidy because he was working with Ellie. He was like picking up really quickly that she wasn't, you know, that she was BSing him. So I think Cassidy's in a good spot. I think she's doing her like hidden fox thing that she wanted to do.
Yeah. So it's funny with Cassidy. Cassidy went from a non-entity to, I feel like, a cult hero. Like yeah. Cassidy is quickly becoming like the new generation Courtney Yates, where it's like she was like there. She was there. We watched her. And now suddenly it's like, she's got spunk. She's going to take these people out. Like she's in it for herself. I don't think Cassidy has what it takes to win. And I am worried a little bit for her just because her name keeps coming on. But I really am a fan of the way that she is playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she is just finding her like niche of fan base that is just going to root so hard for her for the rest of this season. I think she's probably good for another like 2, 3, 4 weeks until maybe we get to like that split tribal council that I'm sure we're inevitably going to get with a double boot yeah. or something like that. But I'm a big fan of Cassidy. Don't have her at number two, though. Instead, I have Owen at number two. So for $20 patrons, I did my after show actually Thursday morning after the episode, but it's still an after show.
After the episode is after the episode.
It was after the episode. Exactly, Alexa. I never went to sleep. So technically, I was still in the same day. But Owen, I have it number two. I ranked out my players in terms of contenders, pretenders, and no shot. And pretender is a struggle, like is a nasty word for like, they kind of have like a chance, but I don't think they're like in the top four. I had Owen as my number two right now. Like he is definitely to me as one of the contenders. His confessional count isn't high, but they have found a way to make him relevant even when they don't need to. Mm-hmm. I feel like Owen's been right a lot on this season, and I just don't see him being targeted right now when you have somebody like Sammy there, who even though Sammy's name hasn't come up, it will start to come up as he starts to participate in individual immunity challenges. He's going to be threatening. That's a problem. And Janine, it'll be interesting to see who does she find it more personally attacked her kind of last week. Gabler, she's going to be pissed at, but at the same time, you got to expect it from Gabler. Owen and Sammy clearly let the cat out of the bag that they went through Gabler's bag. Is she going to be more hurt by the fact that Owen did it or that Gabler did it? I just think Owen has more game to play. He's got that weird Noel James kind of cross tribe alliance that he could still go with. I think there is just way too many avenues for Owen right now. And that's why I have him at number two.
Yeah. Owen's, I think, in a really good spot. And I mean, if Janine didn't have an idol, it wouldn't even matter if he crossed her or not. I don't know. I feel like it makes more sense to go to Owen because Owen, at least you had some sense of trust with, and it seemed like she and Sammy were never that close, but I agree. I have him a little teeny bit lower, but I think Owen's in a perfect spot. I have Jesse at number three. Jesse was very, very minimal in this merge episode, which I'm going to take as a good thing because a lot of names were going around and a lot of drama was happening, and he was nowhere to be found on that, which is really impressive. I feel like people go into the merge and want to like restart playing, and it's pretty much like day one all over again. And he remained perfectly calm the whole time. So I think Jesse's in a really good spot. I think out of any of the Vessi people who would even have their names come up, he is at the absolute bottom of that list. So I think Jesse's in a great spot for this week.
I also have Jesse at number three. I completely agree with everything you just said. And he gets his vote back. That's the biggest thing. Like, Jesse has his vote. Cody has an idol. Noelle has a steal a vote. Dwight is there. And Dwight is a number for them, though. Like, I'm sarcastic when I say he's there, but he is a number for that Vessi tribe. Realistically, Vessi has 5 votes and an idol right now. There's 12 people left in the game. 5 votes and an idol is huge because you're taking a vote from somebody else, too. So if there's 12 people left in the game, you have 5 votes. The other side only has 7. Can you find one person who's going to be willing to work with you? I think they can. I think Baka is probably the tribe that's in the most danger, in air quotes, just because there's such a lack of unity. But are we going to see Vessi and Coco team up to take out Baka? Or are we going to see Vessi and Coco try to steal Baka to take out the other side? Mm-hmm. If that happens, Baka and Vessi are working together to move through this game. Because Baka and what happened with Ellie, and I know Ellie's gone, but Coco's going to have a hard time trusting this Baka tribe when their names were the ones coming up, not anybody from Vessi. So that's why I think, like, Jesse, very, very good positioning right now. Very good positioning. I think he is the favorite to win the season. My top three are the three people that I think have the best chance to win this season right now.
Yeah. And I think at the merge, like, that's when the dust settles and you're really able to see how people are doing. My number four is Cody, which is maybe a bit high for somebody whose name was thrown out, but I don't think there was ever a chance of him going home. I think he will be very aware of the ability to use his idol. I don't think he's the kind of player who would go home with an idol in his pocket. But I do think his name's going to continue to come up, and I don't really think there's going to be a point where it stops. So it's probably a little bit high for him, but I think he'll actually do pretty well in the individual immunity challenges. He still has this Vessi group. There's no indication that they want to turn on him or have wanted to turn on him. He and Jesse still seem very close. So I think Cody's in a perfectly fine spot.
It's funny because this, ever since they voted out NECA, it seems like this is the, like, ultimate, we are the final four tribe right now.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that kind of tribe in any of the newer school seasons. And by that, I mean anything post 40, where it's like, we are going to the end together. That's what it feels like with these four. They don't seem like they want to turn on each other at all. Noelle seems totally content with where she's at. But my number four, are you ready? Drum roll, please. Drum roll, please. I wish I had an alligator costume because I'm going with the Alligabler.
And Alligabler.
So I need to look. I had Gabler at number one like this whole season because he had an idol that had to be used. I don't think Gabler is going to win this season, but I got to defend Gabler right now because I feel like Gabler took a lot of heat this week for no reason. And I just want to get this out there and say why I think he's in a better position.
For no reason.
He's in a better position than where he was last week because of what happened last week.
Right. But that doesn't mean he got hate for no reason. He got hate because he made a bad game move that worked in his favor.
He did not make a bad game move this week.
But he told the rest of this group that they can't trust him. Because anything that bothers him is going to be aired publicly.
I totally disagree. I totally, totally disagree. And here's why. Ellie and Janine were so ready to vote Gabler out of this game when they were all together. Gabler never was going to work with them. If Gabler was going to work with them, it was going to be just as far as they would take him along. For Gabler to be in a better position, he needs to take out public enemy number one, which for him was Ellie. Now, remember, I think people forget that initial scene on the beach with the Megadeth or whatever the hell they were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Gabler felt like he made a connection with Ellie and then it was ripped out of him. And I think that's why he was more hurt by Ellie and was going after her more than he was going after Janine. I feel like he felt like there was a personal.
She was more like public than Janine was too.
Exactly. So, but I think Gabler made the right move because Ellie is never actually going to be a legitimate number for you. You hit the final 12 or final 13, whatever this is. You don't feel good about Janine and Ellie. You know that they're willing to vote you out. You've heard from people that they're trying to vote you out, even though you have this idol and everything like that. Like, they're trying to pretty much play you for a fool. There's no benefit to keeping somebody like that around because not for nothing too. And there's my first not for nothing of the episode for the guy who said it last week.
Take a drink.
Take a drink. But he is, or they are very good social players. I think Ellie and Janine are very good social players. And I think Ellie would have been able to do really well had Gabler not blown her up here. Gabler saw his opportunity to take out his biggest adversary and did it. Now, Gabler looks like a goat, but has plenty of time to turn this game around because we all know that anything happens pre-jury really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. That will make him, though, so he's not a target right now. And what he did was he went after the one person who he claimed was lying about him or to him or whatever you want to say. And when she turned around and said, this is what you get when you trust Gabler, and he said his right back at you, it kind of, I think, signaled to the tribe, and I might be reading too far into this, but did you really ever trust Gabler? And did Gabler ever really trust you? Like, that kind of is crazy that you would trust Gabler after we told you that he threw your name out there. So I don't think it looks as bad for Gabler as people are making it seem. And I don't think this is a bad move. If this was him throwing Sammy or Owen under the bus, who clearly have had his back, air quotes for anybody who's only listening, that would have been stupid. They've been talking to him. They've been feeding him information and all of that. Ellie was somebody who was only going to hurt him and try to find a time to take him out of the game. So I have him at number four this week. One, because I think what happened last week was the best thing for him. And two, because now he is kind of in a GOAT position, but he's in a GOAT position that doesn't mean he's going to be the GOAT if he gets to the end. Remember, around this time in 41, we kind of thought Erica was a GOAT. We didn't really think she had much leverage in this game. I don't think Gabler can turn it around the way Erica did. However, I think he's in a really good spot right now because why would you vote out Mike Gabler?
He is in no position to go home. I'm saying that he is also in no position for someone new to want to work with him or trust him. So I think he'll probably be like, there's no reason to get rid of him at all. But I think like if I'm new and I'm looking for an ally, I don't even know what, I don't know what people know about their relationship, but yeah. I don't even think Ellie and Janine knew that they were going to like spurn him the way that they did, which is completely like their fault. But if I'm a new person, I'm not going to go over and make an ally of the person who just publicly said, I don't like this one person. Because that's not a good ally. But they thought that they were allies.
Yes. And now what I do wonder, though, is moving forward, because remember, we have all the information as the viewer, right? And yeah. I think that always hurts or over exaggerates positively our opinions of certain players because we know everything, mm-hmm. or at least everything they're showing in a 44-minute episode.
Yeah.
Like, these people don't know everything. If what Gabler says to everybody, hey, Ellie threw my name out, this, that, the third, whatever, doesn't matter. And then Ellie goes home. Now, if Gabler takes a step back and he says to James, Cassidy, Carla, like, I really want to work with you, and the next vote votes with them, they really don't have a reason not to trust him because maybe then Ellie's gone, so Ellie can't defend herself. Now Ellie starts to look like the problem, especially since I think Janine's about to come back and be like, Gabler, what the hell's wrong with you? And start really trying to blow this up. But if Janine comes across as kind of sneaky as she's doing that, it's not going to hurt Gabler's game at all.
Yeah, I just more think it would be Owen and like, I don't think Gabler would go to the Blue Tribe and try to make an alliance with them. Like, I think that will be Owen and Sammy who do that. Yeah. I don't think he's going home by any means, but I'm not going to sit here and say he made an incredible strategic move.
I don't think it was an incredible strategic move, but I think he's gotten so much hate for it being like a terrible move that I just don't think it was a bad move
think it's just, he's not like the easiest social player to follow. So it's easier for people to be like, I don't get it.
He does not fit what we as Survivor fans love to watch. You know what I mean? Like he does,
but it is different, and I think that's fun.
I think he's super fun, but he's not like a sound Christian Hubicki kind, you know? Doesn't quite fit that category. He's close. He's close. Christian might be a bit more succinct.
Which weird transition. Christian Hubicki, Dave vs. Goliath. Kara and Angelina are on episode one of White Lotus season two. So make sure to watch that, everybody.
They're looking good. Looking good. I like that. I'm pretty sure Angelina's like pregnant in that. And she's just like looking great. Like whatever.
Looking great. Went to Italy. Good for them. Really happy for them.
Yeah. All right. Who do you have at number five? Now the Gabler thing was my longest rant of the night. I swear we're going to be done in like 5 minutes now.
Yeah. We'll blast through these. Owen is my number five. I think again, the only person he might get like a little flack from Gabler for seeming like he was with Ellie and Janine, but because he did end up voting with them, if I'm correct. He voted for James with Ellie. I don't really know how or why. But I think he's going to be in more quote unquote trouble with Janine. But the difference is Owen is going to go back to Sammy and or Gabler. And I think like you said, Owen has a lot of options. I think he's going to be in a really good place. And I think all four of them are going to be a bit freed from this Baca group. And I think that it's really going to benefit him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Owen, as I just talked about Gabler having like a really, like this worked in his favor. I think Owen is a great spot now because now he doesn't have to make the decision between, do I want to go with the women or the men? You don't need to be thinking about which part of your tribe do you want to go with when you're at the merge. You need to be thinking about, okay, now it's the four of us, which leads to my number five. I have Janine at number five. So after all those nice things I just said about Gabler, I think Janine is in a better spot because Ellie's gone than she would have been if Ellie was still there.
Totally.
And she has the idols. So now you can't pull the wool over Janine's eyes now. You want to come after her this week? She's playing her idol. There's no way you're getting her this week. And I think she's a good level of paranoid as a player. She didn't seem paranoid last week. But then again, I saw in an exit, somebody was mentioning something in an exit press interview where Ellie told Janine not to give her the idol. So Janine was willing and Ellie said don't, which blows my freaking mind.
I can't believe Ellie said that. Ellie is like, I've read her exit press and like, she strikes me as like, she went on and she was like, guys, like I was so bad. And like, here's everything. Why I'm shocked that Ellie told Janine not to play. And that's huge for Janine that happened. Cause now she's completely safe.
Janine's a free agent. And I think what helps her is she was close with Ellie. She seems like she has some sort of relationship with the guys other than Gabler, but like it's forced.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Coco, she could fit in easily. Vessi, she can fit in easily. Which side does she want to go to? And she's bringing an idol with her. I think that's huge. She could be the one who ultimately goes with Vessi and creates the situation where now they have six votes and two idols going up against the other six, if the other six even want to go there. But I think that's what could happen to end up taking out one of the Cocos.
Definitely. Yeah. Not to jump too far ahead, but because we're talking about Janine, I have Noelle at six and Janine at seven. I think for Janine, I don't know if this is good advice or not, but I feel like her being public with her idol actually could help her because she needs some friends right now. And if tribes are going to be divided, like either Coco versus Vessi and Baca or whatever combination, having one person with an idol is going to be very helpful. And Janine needs to make some friends. So yeah. I have her like, you know, right in that halfway point. She, I think, can grow into her own game now, but it is a hard time to start from zero when you're in the final 12. So she definitely is a bit of an uphill battle. And Noelle being number six, she's in the preview, which automatically makes me think she's safe. But I just do not understand how people are going to try to frame getting rid of her. She seems to have done like nothing offensive or like no attempt at backstabbing anybody until maybe 20 minutes into this episode in a few days. She still has her extra vote, which with 12 people is a really good, really good advantage to have if things get divided. So Noelle's fine. I also just like, I don't really know who she's close with other than kind of Dwight. So she does need some allies.
I also think you mentioned Janine and Noelle here. Janine, what she does with the information she has about Cody's idol will be the determining factor for how she does the rest of this game. Mm-hmm. Is she going to use that to try to threaten Vessi, or is she going to use that to try to work with Vessi? Because I think now she can come out and say, Cody, I know you have an idol. How do you know? Well, because Noelle slipped up and said this. Now, Noelle didn't know that Cody had an idol. So it's not like Cody can turn around and say, oh, well, I hate Noelle now. She knew. She didn't know. She just told them that you had this cool thing in your hat.
Yeah.
So, but does that make Noelle more expendable if she does? Let's say Janine goes to Noelle and now Noelle finds out, oh, they never told me. They didn't let me in on this. Now I must turn on them because they don't have my back the way I thought they did. And then she starts to overplay. Now the Vessi thing doesn't work anymore. That's my one concern with Noelle. I don't know what Janine is going to do with the information she has, but I think it's going to be the integral part of this episode.
Yeah, I forgot that it was Janine who heard that. And that's going to be really fun and messy because it all will stem from a complete misunderstanding.
Complete misunderstanding.
Which is always fun.
But so at number six, I have Cody, because he has an idol. And again, I think that he had the idol last week and it seemed like he was ready to play it if he thought he needed to. He never needed to. I think Cody's in good position right now. And I think that they're just gonna have his back pretty much. Like, you know, his tribe's gonna have his back. Jesse's not gonna let anything slide. Jesse's gonna protect him. Yeah. Jesse's like the JT to the Steven here. It's like, I'll hold you. Don't worry, it's okay.
Cody being Steven.
Cody is Steven. Yeah. Imagine Cody and Steven in a room together. Tell me they're not the exact same person. Anyway, at number seven, I'm having a hard time with the bottom half of this because there's a good reason to vote out Ryan. There's a good reason to vote out Sammy. There's a good reason to vote out James, if you really wanted to. There's kind of good reasons to vote out Dwight and Cassidy too, if you needed just somebody to throw votes at. And I already talked about Noelle, but at number seven, I am going to go with Cassidy, and I'm just going to go with the low threat level. If they decide that a Coco is going this week, like let's say everybody teams up against the Cocos, Carla's not going to play her idol to save anybody, but I kind of agree with you. It's got to be James or it's got to be Ryan, right? Like it doesn't make sense to get rid of Cassidy right now. Cassidy feels like she slipped into the perfect spot where Cassidy's going to final eight or further at this point. Like it just seems like she has made it to that position. She got through the hardest part of the game for Cassidy. And now Cassidy is in a good spot, but if they wanted to vote somebody out that they were like, never in a million years would she have an idol, all of a sudden Cassidy becomes a Lydia type boot where you sit there and you say, why, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
I worry a bit, but I'll put her at seven because I worry more for everybody else.
Yeah. We have a pretty similar bottom five. Mm-hmm. We only have one person different right now, which is always impressive because I make mine in advance and you don't, and we don't collaborate. Mm-hmm. So I have... who do I have?
Speaking of making it in advance, Alexa.
I know. I didn't like... No, I'm keeping it. I have Sammy at number eight. I'm trying to not put Sammy in my bottom half because every single time I just talk about the fact that he's not going to go home. So I have him at number eight. All things considered, that's a pretty good position. But he is in a little bit of hot water because he has just been figured out as the source of information for every single person on Baka. So mm-hmm. Janine, albeit having no direct allies, is going to gun for Sammy potentially more than Gabler. Mm-hmm. Because like we talked about, Janine and Gabler were never that close anyways, but Janine had some trust for Sammy. Mm-hmm. So he could be in a little bit of trouble there, but I think he has Gabler and Owen even tighter with him now. So I think Sammy's going to be okay. I don't think he's like overplaying by any means. He might win individual immunity. I just don't really know who else outside of this Baka group he's connected with. So I have him at eight.
My thing with Sammy is, so his name never came up last week, which is awesome. The only name out of the losing team to not come up. Good for you. You did something right. You're making some sort of inroad. He becomes more threatening now that we're in the individual portion of the game for sure. My biggest concern with him is out of all the solid alliances, and I'm going to call Gabler, Sammy, and Owen a solid alliance.
Yeah.
It's not only the weakest of the solid alliances, it's the most toothless of the solid alliances.
Ooh.
They have zero advantages now. With Gabler's idol no longer relevant, they have nothing except each other. If you look at that group of three versus the Vessi four, the Vessi four is so much stronger than them, even though there's only one more person. If you toss Ryan out in the middle of the ocean and you have just the Coco three, that Coco 3 is so much stronger than the Baca 3 because of Carla's idol and because the three of them have voted together every time. That is so huge. And so that's where I get concerned with Sammy, because I don't, like I said, why would you vote out Gabler? You can't vote out Janine this week. I don't think there's any way. And Owen seems like the kind of guy that everybody should be trying to work with right now. Mm-hmm. So Sammy is definitely in a little bit of trouble, which is why my number 8 is Dwight. Dwight was the only one to not get a confessional in the merge episode, which is not a good place to be. Dwight's back-to-back episodes with zero confessionals in the last three, he has a combined 1 after starting off with 13 in the first three. So clearly Dwight seems like he's kind of taking a back seat. But to go this week, what would have to happen for Dwight to go? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm going to put him at 8. I don't feel totally comfortable with him because I feel like he's starting to fall off a cliff in terms of edit. But why would you vote out Dwight this week? He kind of feels like he falls into that Gabler area a little bit where it's, yeah, he's not doing much. He's not as threatening as Jesse. He doesn't have an idol like Cody, and he doesn't have a steal a vote like half the people know that Noelle has. So I'm going to put Dwight at 8 and just kind of try to figure out where he's going to go from here.
Yeah, I really don't know what's going on with Dwight. And I feel bad because he had like a pretty, he had a good like up and down first few episodes. So it's just a little weird that he's completely dropped off. My number 9, I have Gabler, which again is low, but he is probably not going to go home. I don't know why people would immediately vote out somebody who was like the catalyst for the person who went home last week. I just don't really know who is going to want to work with him. He also very well could have win an individual immunity. It's like very unclear what the challenges are going to look like. But yeah, I have Gabler at number 9. And we have the same bottom 3?
No, I still have Sammy.
Oh, okay.
Well, I haven't said who my number 9 is yet. So we could have
there
the
you
same
go.
Bottom 3.
We could. Not to influence you.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will not just to do this. So I have James, Noelle, Sammy, and Ryan left. I'm going to put Noelle at 9. I put her down here because I'm like seeing a situation where Noelle gets really screwed this week for really no reason of her own. I agree with you. She was in the preview, so that automatically makes me think she's safe. That's fine. It's all going to be a red herring. But what is Janine going to do with that information? And how is Noelle going to react if she finds out that they didn't tell her that Cody had an idol and everybody else on her tribe knew?
Yeah.
And is she going to try to overplay the fact that, look, you have a steal a vote, but there's 12 people left in the game. Your steal a vote is not that powerful right now, unless you have allies. You need to stick with your allies. And if they backstab you, or if they don't tell you about the idol and that pisses you off, let them know at final 7 or final 8 or final 9 when your steal a vote can vote them out of the game. Right now, I don't think it's worth it. I don't even think it's worth confronting any of them about it. But I don't know how Noelle is going to react. And I'm assuming that Janine is probably going to let this slip. Also, James and Owen both know that Noelle has something. That's scary. So I'm going to put Noelle here at number 9 and hope that she keeps going, though, because I'm really enjoying Noelle. And I loved her having to sit there and watch and just root the last episode. I thought that was great.
That was awesome. Who knows that she has a steal a vote?
James and Owen. Well, they don't know what it is, I don't think. But I think she might have mentioned it to them or something, that she still had it. But I think it was James and Owen that went on the walk with her, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Owen. When did Owen go on a walk?
He went with her.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't it Owen, James, and Noelle? And then Dwight knows she has the steal vote because she told Dwight.
Okay. Got it. It's so confusing how many people. And then we lost somebody last week who didn't have an advantage. So now the ratio advantages to humans remaining is higher.
Yes. They keep going up, up, up.
Okay. Out of nowhere, he's very low. I have James at number 10. I don't really know how this happened. He kind of just ended up down here, but people, I think now know he's very smart. He's very social. He and Carl are tight. He and Cassidy are tight. And as we've just laid out, there's not many large alliances or many large groups of people that are close. So people might go to the three of them and say, you guys are too close. We need to get rid of them. James already got votes. He also had a very naturally strong reaction to getting those votes. And I think he actually thought that he was about to go home. And I think that, I don't know, that could just signal to people that maybe he was feeling really confident and doesn't and like genuinely did not think that he was about to get blindsided. He is probably okay, but I think out of anybody on the Coco tribe who is not named Ryan, I think he's in the most trouble.
I totally agree. I have James at number 10, Sam at 11, Ryan at 12. So that's okay. That's how I close it out. So James is a hard one for me because I really liked the way James played last week. And I think James like handled that situation as perfectly as he could. I think he saw through Ellie's BS. I thought that was really, really good. That also makes him kind of dangerous though. And if you're going to go after Coco, I have Ryan at the bottom here because Ryan feels like he's just bound to slip up and say something. He's a challenge beast. Everybody knows he's a challenge beast. But if you're going to go after the real Coco Alliance, I think they're all going to like Carla too much. I think they're going to find Cassie to be a waste of vote. And I think they're going to vote out James.
Yeah.
I think James just feels like a first juror, right? Like James has like, he has like a Jonas feel to him where it's like, oh, James is there. Like, and now he's gone. But I really think he had a good episode last week, which is why I still have two people below him. Sammy. Whoa, that was weird. Sammy, it's just circumstantial. That's all it is with me and with Sammy. I just think Sammy is in a weird spot with the Baca Four and everybody else. And now Janine, I don't know how she's going to handle Sammy when she comes back. Sammy's just in a weird spot. And the number 12 being Ryan, like until Ryan, like how I kept putting Gabler at number one, just to keep putting Gabler at one. Pretty much until Ryan goes home, he's my number. He's my last. Like, he's in the worst position. He has no legs in this game, and nobody from Coco is going to defend him if his name comes up. They're going to be like, okay, whatever. We have to do what we have to do, even though that's going to hurt their numbers. It's kind of like the same thing with Ellie. How much is this really going to hurt the numbers of Cassidy and James and Carla? It's not going to hurt that bad.
Yeah, I've Dwight at 11 and Ryan at 12 for that same reason. Like Ryan was on the safe side last week. If he wasn't, he probably would have had his name thrown out quite a bit. So I'm curious if Carla, James, and Cassidy consider him like that strong of a number. He's probably going to be looking for somebody else because the last time that they had a tribal council together, they totally blew him out of the water. So I agree with you. I think Ryan is in huge trouble and probably always will be. Dwight, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. He probably should be more in the middle because I don't really know what his deal is and where he stands right now, but I have him pretty low because everyone else I have a bit more understanding of where they're at.
Yeah. I love it. I think that makes sense. Ryan also, even though he was saved last week, just came off looking so foolish, right? Like he just looked foolish. That just to me screams like when people have a chance to get him out, he's going to be overconfident that he has this alliance that he doesn't really have. And it's just going to be like toodles.
There was a secret scene that came out too of, I think it's like Ellie narrating it, but Ryan like chooses to go like tend to the shelter or make food when like everybody else is strategizing on the beach. And it's just not. It's just not a good look. So
not a good look.
He's definitely in a little bit of trouble.
I agree. I totally agree. So that's where we're at. That's what we got. That's our predictions and power rankings for episode number 7.
Episode 7, and yet we're at the second vote of the merge. So that's
the first vote of the merge. Last week wasn't the real merge, Alexa.
Ugh, I know.
They were not all merged.
They were earning it.
They're earning it. They were split.
I received a few Instagram DMs today of videos of Mr. Jeff Probst doing some pretty poor improv acting on a Saturday Night Live this past week. He was in a skit, and I don't know if improv is his thing, but I love him as the host of Survivor. But it was really cool to have him on because that's an NBC show. I thought it was like so random that he came on for this one. What am I saying? This one skit. But we love you, Jeff.
Yeah, we love you. And hey, here's my zinger for SNL. He was bad at improv, just like everybody on that show. Hello. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. I think he's worse than.
He was worse. I would hope he's worse than the people who are really making a living at it. But yeah, it was a big week for Survivor cameos. Huge week.
Big week for Survivor cameos.
Yeah, good for Mike White, though, for like doing this and like paying it back to the people who he actually like liked on the show. It's kind of cool that like somebody who was already famous before they went on Survivor still really connected with his cast a lot. And I know there's some people on the cast that like obviously didn't connect with as well, but it's so easy for people who go out, play the game. Like, has Jeff Kent like taken anybody to baseball games? I don't know. Maybe.
Probably not.
But probably not. He probably got off that island and was like, F you guys, I'm never talking to you again. I got things to do. I'm really happy that Mike White's kind of like paying it back. And I remember when they were actually going out to film that for the White Lotus, I think Carla and Angelina, and I think even Alec, they were just posting on like, they were on his jet and like, oh, like good for Mike White and good for all them who aligned with Mike White. I'll tell you what, get out there with somebody who's really, really wealthy and really, really famous. Don't play to win Survivor, play to be their friend. That's the way you win.
And make sure to vote for them.
Vote for them to win, because that is how you're going to
win. And that will pay you back in dividends.
You're going to be on HBO, kids. I'm telling you. That's what Gabler's doing right now. He's just trying to figure out which person is going to get me on HBO. That's
who's
all
the famous athlete on this season who can take me to a football game.
Who is it? Who is it? So he's just got to figure that out, and he's going to be good to go. But that's it. That's it, right? That's it.
That's it. I just we just got a comment that like I don't believe to be true, but maybe it actually is.
I'm so confused. But become patrons, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. $20 patrons are getting a whole bunch of stuff. Alexa and I just did our retrospective today for people who it was a request from Stephen Bayes. So that was fun. It was Halloween themed. And if you're not a patron, you can't be in the Discord. But if you are a patron, join our Discord, send us a message. We'll verify that you're a patron and then we'll let you in. But join the Discord, people having conversations like crazy, good times to be had by all. And we'll see you all, what? It's just Wednesday night, regular time, Alexa?
Yep, Wednesday night, 9:05 Eastern. I feel like this is the first time that has ever happened. So make sure to tune in for that, everybody.
Can't wait. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you. Oh, also, I just want to say this. Can you guys just get us to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube? We've been at like 9,995 for the last 45 years. Can you guys just get us 10,000? Just tell people to just subscribe, even if they don't listen to us. We just want to hit 10,000. I'm so aggravated. They keep saying 9.95, 9.96, 9.98, and then it goes back down to 9.95. Just get us to 10,000, and I will feel so much better about my life. So
make some fake email accounts and get on it, everybody.
That's all I need, because I'm going to start doing it, and I am all out of email address ideas because I already have so many fake ones, so I can comment about how great I am on Survivor Reddit. So come on, everybody. Help us out here. Happy Halloween. Go get some candy.
Eat some Twix, everybody.